Hi guys, so one of the key questions that people have often asked since the latest ULEZ, ultra low emission zone expansion in London, is the legality of the signage, of the signs that tell you whether you're entering the zone or not, whether you'll be charged in the zone or not, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, obviously there has been some question over that. Now, in addition to ULEZ, of course, London also has LEZ, L-E-Z. And there was one man that actually challenged the signage when it came to L-E-Z. And it turned out that he's actually won his challenge. Who is he? And what does this mean for ULEZ? And what is he doing next? Well, we're going to find out everything because we're going to meet Noel Wilcox of Elevation Access Scaffolding. And he's the man that took TfL to court and won. Let's meet him. A brown car guy. Brown car guy. Good morning, Noel. How are you doing? It was great to chat to you the other day, and it's great to finally see you face to face and explore a little bit about what ULEZ has done to you. But first of all, introduce yourself, tell everybody who you are, and then we'll lead into how ULEZ has impacted you.
Okay, so my name is Noel Wilcox, and I am the company director of Elevation Access. And yes, I've owned that company for about 6 years now. And back in October 2021, it was in July of 2021, my company was hit with £11,500 worth of fines for the low emission zone.
So tell people, how does that work? This is a low emission zone, because this doesn't affect most ordinary motorists. What is a low emission zone? How did it impact you, and how did you end up with that quite colossal fine?
Yeah, right, okay. So the low emission zone was for HGVs going into that area. So obviously where the ULEZ expansion now has gone to, so the actual expansion itself, that has now ventured into the low emission zone. So, I mean, it kind of covered areas, you know, that maybe your listeners are familiar with, such as Northolt, Hayes, the sort of M4. So the inner workings, really, of the M25, which is obviously where the ULEZ expansion has been expanded to.
Were you not aware that this was going to impact your vehicles? Did you know that... How comes? Was it not publicized? Were you not told that your vehicles have to meet a certain criteria? What is the criteria, by the way?
So at the time, from what my understanding was that they had to be Euro 6 vehicles. And we had Euro 5 with AdBlue, because at the time, before any of these schemes were implemented, you know, we were kind of under the impression that when you had a HG vehicle that included AdBlue, that it carried out the necessary lowering of the actual emissions itself.
And what was that written anywhere? What led you to that belief? What gave you that understanding?
Never heard of it. Didn't have a clue. You know, when I applied for my operator's license, you know, when you get an operator's license, which means that obviously you're allowed to use HGVs. I went to a lot of their training. Nothing was mentioned there, because you kind of got to do a day's training, which is where they update you with legislation, what they expect from you when you're, in essence, when you're sending HGVs out onto the road, the sort of mandatory checks that you have to do and stuff like that. But there was nothing in there that had anything to do with emissions or any zones that you might be entering
into.
And
so when did this happen? How did... You know, over what duration did all of a sudden you found that this was happening to you? And then what happened? Did the fine for 11 grand just drop through the letterbox, or was it building up to that? Or how did this occur?
Yeah, so basically what happened was it was in July 2021, which is when we received the fines. And they all just came through the door all at once. And the reason for that is that, yeah, they'd all just come through the back door, basically, of the pandemic. So we'd just come out of the pandemic. So the Royal Mail, you know, everything was closed, wasn't it? You know, if you remember back to those days of the actual pandemic, there was nothing working. All our public services were closed, and we hadn't received any post at all.
So basically, a flood of
fines. So I think July was
suddenly hit you out of the blue without any warning whatsoever.
Exactly. So it was seven fines that we'd received where we were going across the Hayes bypass, where The driver was going across the Hayes Bypass. I don't know if you're familiar with that area, which is just over near the M4, just near towards like Heathrow. So we had a job that was over in that direction. So obviously that was the travelling that we were doing, and we had absolutely no idea that we were going into some sort of congestion charging zone.
So when you got these fines, what did you do?
So immediately we appealed them to Transport for London and sort of said, look, we weren't aware of this. We had no clue that we were in these low emission zones. We've never even heard of it. And yeah, when Transport for London came back to us, they basically said, we're not interested. It's down to you. It's down to the drivers of the vehicle to ensure themselves that they're familiar with all kind of like toll roads, congestion charges, low emission zones,
And
etc.
so, how did you process this further then? What did you do after that when they came back to you? I mean, you're obviously not going to sit on an £11,000 fine that's hit you out of the blue.
It was
just to put this
actually
into context, what does that mean to you as a business if you suddenly get a bill like that?
£11,500. So how it works is that you're supposed to set up to an auto pay system, but there's no signs, nothing telling you that you have to sign up to an auto pay system. So every time that your vehicle was going into the low emission zone, it would automatically take the money from your account. So £11,500 when it came through is a substantial amount of money for any business. It doesn't matter what your profits are. And to be honest with you, if we would have had to have paid £11,500 to Transport for London in fines, that would have definitely bankrupted our business.
Wow.
And that was 100% because obviously you came out the back of the pandemic, so work was very scarce at that time. Obviously, people are taking out bounce back loans. All companies were struggling at that time. So obviously, I was mortified that Transport for London had sent us fines for £11,500, and it just didn't make any sense.
The one thing that strikes me is that you said that there was no warning, there was no awareness of this, nothing led up to it, and then you were suddenly hit by this. And I think that what you've mentioned is the main thing that occurred to you was that it can't be right because you weren't foretold, you weren't warned. There was no indication that you'd be hit by these fines or these charges.
It was just totally out of the blue. Never heard of this LEZ. I didn't even know what LEZ meant. I had no idea. So all it was just literally the letters LEZ in a circle, and it just said at all times. What does that mean? I have no idea. I mean, you normally associate these kind of signs with like parking, controlled parking, something like that. I was familiar with the congestion charge when you're going into London because we all recognize the symbol of the C, don't we? Telling you that you're going to be charged. The same way that when you're going to Dartford or you're going over the Dartford Bridge, you see lots of signs before you approach it. There's, they've got all the billboards telling you how much each vehicle is expected to pay. So you have lots of warning before you actually hit the toll. So if you decide that you don't want to go over the toll, you've got lots of warning to pull off onto the junctions prior to you getting to the Dartford
And this is very
charge.
important, that point that you've just mentioned, where it actually indicates the tariff that you're going to be charged. And so, what have you found out? Is that a fundamental requirement of the law to actually break that down and tell you? I mean, you get this with every car park, right? Before you go into a car park, there has to be a board right at the front of the car park, which tells you that if you enter this car park, this is the rate that you're going to be charged. It's a requirement, right?
Absolutely, it is a requirement by law. So, obviously, once Transport for London had stated that they had no interest in listening to my appeal, and obviously, I'd also made the point that the Royal Mail were not delivering any post. So, it was supposed to be £100 for every time that the vehicle went in. If you don't pay that £100, it's an immediate £1,000
Wow.
fine. Immediate.
Wow. So how long have you got to
So, if
pay
you
the
don't
hundred
pay the
pounds? Is that like a day and a
£100,
half or 2 day or whatever, or that's it? On the day
on the
itself.
day, that is it. Yeah, on the day itself. So you've got to pay the £100 then if you don't pay that £100, by the next day, that fine will automatically be £1,000. If you don't pay the £1,000 within 28 days, the fine then escalates to £1,500.
Okay, so that's how the bill then became £11,500.
Exactly. So it was seven penalty charges that we received, and they were of the value to £1,500. So that's where the actual whole bill itself, or the fine, was £11,500. So me being the way that I am, So me being the way that I am, obviously what I did, I started looking at the law and researching the law. So I started reading the road traffic regulations, and general directions. I started reading the Road Traffic Act, and I was reading the Ministry of Transport, Know Your Signs. And very quickly, I established that the signs were not compatible with legislation. And that is what I appealed to the adjudicators' courts on Chancery Lane. And I appealed it on those grounds, that I wasn't aware of the signage, and that the signage is not clear, it's not all obvious. And I didn't believe at that time that low emission zone signs were authorized.
And so what happened? What was the verdict?
So I went to court, and I didn't actually go to court, because at that time, because of the pandemic, nobody was seeing anybody. So it was done via a video call. And when I spoke to the judge and I put my case forwards, he said, you know, with the legal points that you've raised, I'm going to adjourn for 21 days to allow Transport for London to provide the evidence that their signs are lawful. And I'm also going to allow them the time to also further supply evidence that their signs are also authorized.
So did you do this on your own, or did you get legal assistance to do this, or you did this entirely yourself?
No, I did this entirely myself. I don't know why. I have no idea why, but for some reason, I just really understand the law, and I really understand legislation. And the law doesn't discriminate, and the law categorically states in black and white what certain things have to be for that criteria. You know, i.e. if a police officer is going to crime a crime, it's laid out in legislation exactly what that crime is. And it's no different in legislation to what the signs have to be. You know, it's the government who have devised that legislation, and they've been very specific about the content of the information that is required in those signs.
So the case was adjourned, and then what, 21 days, you said. So when TfL came back, what did they say?
They didn't supply any evidence at all. So if I could just make it very clear, Transport for London didn't even enter into the video link. I mean, that's how serious that they actually take it. You know, they had no interest. I mean, it's just their total disregard for the court process, the court's time and the court process. And even at that, on that basis, because £11,500 is a substantial amount of money, and I thought that they would have at least, you know, turned up to court. I know it was a video link, but it's still the court's time, isn't it? So you're still coming to court. And you would have thought that they would have attended court to give their evidence and at least give me the opportunity to cross-examine, you know, whoever it was that was a representative from Transport for London.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite bizarre, isn't it, really? You think about, you know, if it's serious enough to be considered before a judge or a magistrate, then it should be serious enough for people to attend and present their case. So when they were given, so even after the adjournment, they didn't come back with any further evidence?
They didn't come back with any further evidence. So in the October, the judge, so that was in September. So in the October, we received a decision through the post, and the adjudicator said that he was going to allow the appeal, and he said that he can't be satisfied that the road traffic signs are authorized and that they contain the correct information. He also stated that Transport for London were to immediately refund my fees and my any penalty charges that I paid. So I didn't pay any penalty charges, because the whole idea was that I appealed against them. But when we were made aware that there was a low emission zone, I didn't want these fines consistently coming through the door. So we signed up to the auto pay system, and that auto pay system was taking £100 every single time our vehicle left the yard. So that quickly clocked up to approximately, I think, about £3,000.
Wow. So this is in addition to the 11 and a half.
Yeah, so the 11 and a half was the fines, and the 3,000 that I, yeah, but the £3,000 I had paid. So obviously, because the adjudicator had deemed that the signage was not lawful, therefore a fine, a charge does not exist. So hence why he categorically stated that the fees are to be paid back to me without delay. So Transport for London completely disregarded that aspect of it. We sent all of our information of all of the fees that we paid to Transport for London, and every single invoice, every single email, everything that was put into them in writing was ignored. Then in the March, when we were trying to get our money back from Transport for London, then in the March of 2022, long and behold, Bayliss started pursuing us for the £11,500 debt from Transport for London.
And what did you do then? I mean, again, you still have had no response from Transport for London regarding the decision by the magistrate.
Absolutely. So the bailiff company were not interested in the fact that we'd had a court order and that we'd won. They said that we only take instructions from our client. And what I was really concerned about at that time was the blatant disregard and disrespect for the court process by Transport for London. They've received a court order telling them that they'd lost, and they've received a court order telling them that they were to refund my money to me without delay.
And the bailiffs round.
And they sent the bailiffs round. I mean, that is completely wrong.
So what
isn't
did you
it?
Do then?
So eventually, after being pursued for about a year by the bailiffs, eventually they just kind of disappeared because they weren't getting anywhere with us. Bearing in mind, I'd already been bullied by Transport for London, and I certainly wasn't going to be bullied by bailiffs. So, you know, they started saying to us that there was ANPR cameras. So any time that any of our vehicle, that vehicle was going to go out, you know, it would be clamped. The vehicle would be seized with the assets that were on it. You know, it was all of them kind of threats that we had to deal with for about a year. So, you know, I contacted my MP about it. Did very little, as they do, you know, just saying, how is this right that I've got a court order? I've been to court and I've already won. So why is Transport for London not honouring that court order? So very quickly, I established that Transport for London were completely and absolutely rogue. They are a rogue organisation with no, with a blatant disregard for anything to do with the court process. But what is quite alarming about them is that they expect you to play by their rules. How is that acceptable? Why is it one rule for one and another rule for another?
And
why
during
is
this
that?
Whole time, you still haven't had any serious correspondence from TfL regarding this?
No, none whatsoever. So we'd sent emails to the CEO, which was Alan Thorpe, I think his name was. You know, we'd been passed from pillar to post. It's not this department, it's that department. So many departments within Transport for London. But why is it that when they come after you with their enforcement, it's only ever one department that you're going to deal with? So it was on that basis when I thought, you know what, I'm not going to stand for this. And if this is happening to me, it has to be happening to tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of innocent motorists. And that's what my thought process was.
So before we get into where you go from here, I just want to refer back mm-hmm. to the decision that was made regarding the signage, and therefore what the implications of that is for all of these type of signs, including the new ULEZ signs, which are in the extended area now. Because fundamentally what you're saying is that if the ULEZ sign doesn't absolutely clearly make it obvious that you will be charged if you go past this sign, then that sign is not legal?
Absolutely. That is exactly the case that I presented to the adjudicator, and the adjudicator agreed with me on that basis. The ULEZ signs, the low emission zone signs, obviously the ULEZ sign, I didn't win that case. I won on the low emission zone, but the ULEZ is its sister, and it's still the same. It's exactly the same writing, just one says a U in front of the LEZ. So you've got one that says the low emission zone, and the other one just says the ultra low emission zone, or ULEZ. So there's no difference between those signs. And in my opinion, from legislation, from what I've read from the law, also the ULEZ does not contain sufficient information warning or advising the motorist as to exactly what the charges are and where even the boundary starts. So even if you look at the congestion charge, when you're in the road, you've got the C on the floor, haven't you? So you've got the C and with the red outline that's on the floor. So you know where the boundary is. Have you seen any of those with the ULEZ? I haven't.
I mean, I've seen on the previous ULEZ border around the North Circular. Sometimes you do get that. So when you get into certain lanes, you can see it on the ground. But I haven't seen since with the expansion, I haven't seen that. So, I mean, in terms of the legality of these signage, so theoretically, all it would take for them to make the signs legal is to add a plaque on it to say that you are now entering ULEZ zone and this will be the charge. Is that what they would be required to do?
No, not really. All the signs would have to be taken down and they would have to be compliant. And there's quite a lot of information that has to be included in those signs warning that motorist. Because in essence, you're kind of entering a contract, aren't you? You know, so they're stipulating what their terms and conditions are of you entering that zone. So they've got to make it very, very clear as to exactly what is required from that motorist. And from what I can see from these signs, it certainly doesn't state on a lot of the signs what the actual times are. So when is the operating hours of the ULEZ? You can't assume that motorists are going to know that information. It doesn't tell you that there's a charge. And the way that we recognize it is the symbol of that C. It's like a no entry, isn't it? So when you're going down a no entry road, everybody knows that it's the red outline with kind of like the white minus sign that goes through the no entry sign. So you know that that is a no entry. You are not supposed to go down there. That's how we recognize it. So it's exactly the same with the legislation for any charging scheme. It has to tell you that there's a charge. And that's by law. Like, that's not me. That's not my assumption. That's not an opinion by me. That is what the legislation actually categorically, specifically states. And it also has to tell you how much the charge is for what vehicle, and more importantly, where you can pay it.
Well, I suppose that with the ULEZ expansion, I suppose City Hall could argue that they've sent out letters to everybody. In fact, across the country, they've had a TV and radio advertising campaign. So would that not be enough defense on their part?
No, because then your signs are still not compatible with legislation. So it says to me that this policy of Transport for London has been rolled out with absolutely no regards to what the legislation is or what the law states. The law is the law at the end of the day, and nobody is exempt from the law. And that's what the adjudicator found in my case.
So where do you go from here now?
So obviously I've set up a GoFundMe, which is taking on TfL, because I feel that strongly about what's going on, even just in our society, and just the way that we're all being bullied by the state. And all I see from Transport for London is you will do, you will do, you will do. But when the tables are reversed, they're not doing the same. And that is just not acceptable in any shape, manner or form. So I've set up a GoFundMe, and there's two elements to this. And unfortunately, I can't go into the legal specifics because that hasn't, in the stage one of my GoFundMe, that has now been implemented. But I can't talk about it until Transport for London are made aware of what exactly it is the legal action is that I'm taking against them. but it's very serious, and that's how serious that I'm actually taking this. I mean, what I would say to you is the reason why they've not paid me or refunded me my money is because that sets legal precedent, doesn't it? So if they've got to pay me back, they've got to pay everybody else back under the low emission zone science. Yeah. Then on the second stage of what legal action I'm taking, I've consulted with a legal team, and we believe that we've got a very, very strong case that we can present to Transport for London.
And this is still regarding the LES or the ULES?
This is regarding the science.
How can people find your GoFundMe page if they want to support you?
Well, obviously, I'll send you the link. So if you could add the link, that would be fantastic. And then obviously, if they go to GoFundMe on Google, taking on TFL. And it's all on there. I'm on various Facebook sites. Andy the Cabbie, he's also been supporting this campaign. So if anybody goes there, they can get the link. They could go straight onto it. I understand as well that not a lot of people have got a lot of money at this time. But what I was all, you know, if anybody can share it, just keep sharing it across platform, because I am not going to rest until I get justice, not just for me, but justice for absolutely everybody.
Would you recommend or advise others that feel themselves in a similar situation to also bring a case against TFL, specifically regarding the ULEZ, since the ULEZ expansion has happened? Do you think that more cases brought would bring more pressure?
Well, I certainly think that my case is persuasive. So if anybody is going to appeal, you know, like I say, I can't sort of speak for everybody because everybody's got individual circumstances, and there's loads of roads that go into the low emission zone, the ULEZ and stuff like that. So without me actually looking at it, I wouldn't know, you know, how I could best advise somebody. But if they, all I can say is if they were not aware that they were actually entering that zone, then I believe that they've got grounds of appeal. And I think that what we all have to start doing as a society is making sure that you understand the law, because we're all kind of like brainwashed to think that what the government roll out or what trans must be legitimate. But in a lot of these cases and a lot of these circumstances, I see that legislation and the law is basically being completely ignored.
One point I'd like to just discuss here is because I get this a lot on the site, on the channel, and you get a lot of people saying, just don't pay, don't pay. And it's interesting that, you know, I mean, since the ULEZ came in, I put my car on auto pay, you know, because I didn't want to get caught out by it. Mm-hmm. And you also mentioned that you've since gone on to auto pay as well. But you do get a lot of people saying, oh, I'm just not going to pay. I'm just not going to pay. And my personal take is I don't advise people what they want to do or what they don't want to do. But I always say that, look, you don't want to end up in a situation such as you did, where you end up with bailiffs coming to your door. I mean, that's the worst case scenario, really. Would you advise people to...
The repercussions can be a lot more than that. You know, after bailiffs come for you, if you've got assets, they can seize assets. They could possibly freeze bank accounts. And it has been known that warrants have been put out for a person's arrest as well. So I would certainly recommend and certainly suggest to anybody, you know, if you are going to take that approach and just not pay it, I don't think that that is the right approach. At the end of the day, I use the process that's in place, and I won my case.
I think that's a very good point, and a very important point to make is that follow due process. You know, don't just not pay for the sake of not paying. I think you're quite right there. But, I mean, it's an incredible story. Thank you so much for coming on this morning and sharing it with us. And it'll be interesting to stay up to date with what you're doing and how it's going. So please keep us informed. And I hope that people out there will come on board and support you in this, and we'll see how that goes.
I mean, honestly, I mean, the support that I'm getting from everybody has been absolutely unbelievable. You know, I'm deeply humbled by, you know, the love, the support that I'm getting from everybody, the comments. I do read the comments on, you know, the GoFundMe. I read the comments on social media. And, you know, everybody is right behind me on this because I think they can see from my approach that it's very cool, calm, collected, but I'm extremely ruthless and I'm very, very calculated as well. And every action that I'm taking, I believe, is actually in the public's interests. So the more support that I get, you know, we can win this together. And that's just the way that I see it. All I am is just, you know, I'm just a man who just knows the law, and I'm really, really adamant that I'm going to see this all the way through to
That's
the
awesome.
end.
Thanks so much for joining us, Noel. And I'm sure I'll speak to you again very, very soon.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Brown Card Guy.
Hope you enjoyed that video. If you did, please, please hit the like button and share this video as well if you can. And while you're at it, check out these guys who also sponsor my content. I am deeply grateful to them because it helps me to buy new equipment, put fuel in the cars, and yes, buy a cup of coffee. You can do the same. Just go here or right here on YouTube. Just hit these three little dots down here and click on thanks. Make sure you're signed in first. My content is free, but this is how you can help me keep it that way. I may even send you a gift. Oh, by the way, watch this next.